Well, it's a joy and a pleasure to be back to Bethlehem again tonight. We really have enjoyed the hour of fellowship, the good food. After sitting in there and eating, I decided I might want to move my membership down here. Of course, I'm only joking, but I did enjoy the food. It was really good. And thank you all for the effort that you put forth in providing that good dinner for us this evening. On the way home, or maybe it might have been after we got home, Mabel said to me last night, "I thought you would have said something about Brother and Sister Honeycutt." Now, I've known them for a long, long time, and they are good friends. And I truly intended to mention them, but when you get up here and you've got so many things that you want to say, sometimes you don't get them all said, you know. But I do appreciate Brother and Sister Honeycutt. And I'm glad to have had the opportunity to come to Bethlehem and to worship with you all. As I said last night, this is my first time to be in services here with this church. And it's so good to get to know you, to worship with you. You have a terrific piano player and a very good song leader. And your singing is very good. And that's important. Singing, you know, helps us to get in the right frame of mind to worship. It helps to clear our hearts and minds of the worldly things that we've been involved with, you know, all day, and helps us to focus on the Lord Jesus and on the reason for the existence of our church. And but I really have enjoyed the services, and I'm glad to get to work with Brother Johnson. We have been involved in Bible studies together over the years, but this is our first time to be teamed together in a revival. And so I appreciate him, and I'm glad to get to be with him in the services. I do desire an interest in your prayers tonight. I learned a long, long time ago that without the help of the Lord, we can't do anything that will amount to anything. And I don't even want to try without the help of the Lord, because this is His work, you know. And I do love to tell the story. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, because as the songwriter said, they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. But then again, you think about those who have never heard, you know. And it's so important that we share the gospel with people. Everybody needs to know that God has a plan of salvation and that He will save to the uttermost all that will come to Him. And so I desire an interest in your prayers tonight. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that will be found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel as recorded by John. I'm going to begin at verse 7 and read down through verse 11. The Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 16 and verse 7. These are the words of Jesus. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now that's all I'm going to read at this time. And I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. Last night I tried to preach on the subject of God's plan to save. And tonight I want to follow that up by using for my subject the Word and the Spirit. the Word and the Spirit. There are two things that are absolutely indispensable in being saved. One of them is the Word of God, and the other is the power of the Holy Spirit. They're just indispensable. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So the gospel furnishes the information that people must hear before they can be saved. The gospel is the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. He left heaven's glory and he came to this earth, and he lived among men, and he sacrificed his life on the cross of Calvary as an atonement for sin. And that's the only remedy for sin that we have. We're all sinners. The Bible tells us in plain language that we're all sinners. The Bible says there is none that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're sinners. And as sinners, we cannot go to heaven. This is why this is such good news. If you want to go to heaven, you have to be saved. And the Bible says that Jesus, he died for our sins. He paid the sin debt on our behalf. We all know about, or I'm assuming that we all know, I suppose that maybe we should not make that assumption, because there it's always possible that someone is in our presence that has never heard the story of Jesus, that has never heard about the need to be saved. Jesus said in, I believe it's in the 12th chapter of the book of John, he had been speaking to his own people, the Jews. And he said to them, they had rejected him. Maybe I should quote this verse of scripture before I get that. The Bible says that he was in the world, that is Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. It says, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is, they rejected him. But it says, but to them believe, he gave them power. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on his name. So the Lord Jesus came. He came for a purpose. He came to that men might be saved. And those who did not reject him, but those who received him, that is, they acknowledged that he was the Christ, the Savior of the world, to them that acknowledged that, he gave power to become the sons of God. Now, to these same people, Jesus was speaking. And he said, if you do not believe that I am he, that is, the Messiah, the Savior, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. Now that's the words of Jesus. And we know that when Jesus, after he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose from the dead, he showed himself alive after his passion or his sufferings by the space of 40 days and 40 nights. And then one day, as he was walking and talking with his disciples on the way to Bethany, or maybe from Bethany, but anyway, they were talking about the things that had taken place and about the kingdom of heaven. And while they were talking, the Bible said that Jesus was received up into heaven. And we know Jesus went to heaven. He came down from heaven and he went back to heaven. And so if anyone and everyone wants to go to heaven, they're going to have to be saved. Because you can't go to heaven in your sins. Heaven is a perfect place. It's a place where there is no sin, no sorrow, no heartaches, no death. Nothing that defileth or maketh a lie will ever enter into that place. And so we have to be saved. So that's why we preach of the gospel, the good news. We tell people there's a way to get saved and to go to heaven. So tonight as we think about this, the word, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is the power of God inasmuch as it furnishes the information that sinners need to hear in order to be saved. And I say that because in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the question is asked, how can they call upon whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. And so the preaching of the gospel is important because it furnishes the information that people need to hear in order to be saved. If you had never heard of Jesus, you would never have called upon him. If you had never heard of him, you would never have asked him to save you. If you had never heard of him, you would never have believed upon him as your Savior. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God is so very important. It is indispensable to the salvation of the soul. But also there is something else in addition to the Word that's indispensable. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible tells us, and I read it in your hearing, Jesus told the disciples he was going away. He said, it's expedient, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. Now that word reprove there actually means I will get their attention. Do you know before anybody can get saved, they have to be made aware of the fact that they need to be saved. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, when God made man, he made him in his image and after his likeness. A man was perfect. He was finitely holy. He was righteous. He had never sinned. But God gave him a commandment. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now there's a reason for that. That commandment was a test of the moral judgment of man. You know, God knew what man would do, but yet God did not create robots. He made man a free agent, and he had the right to choose what he would do. And so God gave him a test. It was the test of his moral character. And he said, don't eat of the tree. If you do, you'll die. Well, Adam, without going into every detail of it, Adam partook of that tree. And the moment he did, he became separated from God. Separated by sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. And he transgressed God's law. And his sin separated him from the God that created him. And in fact, his condition was that was such that he could not save himself. He could not deliver himself from that condition. And he needed someone to do it for him. The Bible says in the Ephesians chapter 2, as Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he said, "And you who were dead in trespasses and in sins, hath he quickened." Now, when Adam sinned, he died spiritually. He became separated from God by his sins. And separation is described as being dead in trespasses and in sin. And you can't save yourself. You can't do enough works to save yourself. Because we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to his mercy that he saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we need a Savior. And Jesus came to be our Savior. You know, salvation consists of three things. It consists of, first, becoming convicted of our sins. Now that means that you must come to the knowledge that you have that you are a sinner in the sight of Almighty God. A conviction consists of knowledge. And you know, if the Holy Spirit did not reprove, if the Holy Spirit did not get your attention and let you know that you are a sinner, and that you are not right in the sight of God, you would never ever be saved. Because you see, we have an inclination to sin. We are born sinners. The Bible says that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth speaking lies as soon as they're born. And the Bible says in the language of David, he said that I was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. Now that doesn't mean that he was born illegitimately, but it means his daddy was a sinner and his mama was a sinner, and when he was born, he was a sinner. And that's the case with every one of us. The Bible says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men because all have sinned. And so the Holy Spirit, he reproves us. He gets our attention. You know, I remember very well, I was a 10-year-old boy. My father and mother were members of an old-fashioned Baptist church. They were faithful to the church. They took us children to church. I might tell you this. My father died when he was 75 years old. My mother died when she was 99 years and 2 months old. And the only thing, we spent everything that they had accumulated, everything, to take care of them. And they, when they left, we had no inheritance at all. Me and my two sisters, we didn't have anything left. And that's all right. I'm not complaining about it. They gave us something much more precious than money. They took us to the Lord's house where we could hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of us. He convicted us that we were sinners. And all three of us have been saved. And so we got... Our parents provided for us something much more than gold and silver and houses and lands. I would say to you parents, it's very important that you take your children to church. The little ones, so while they're young, their hearts are tender. Take them where they can hear the gospel of the Son of God. Because if you want anything for them, surely you want them to be saved. And you want them to go to heaven with you when life is over. I don't even know where I was now. But anyway, the Holy Spirit. I was taken to church all my life. And I never felt Until I was 10 years old, I never felt condemned. I never felt conviction. I never felt the need of being saved. I never felt that I was lost. But one day I was sitting in that church, and a man by the name of Chris Ellis, he was preaching the gospel, and the Holy Spirit reproved me. He brought it to my attention. You're lost. You're separated from God. You need to be saved. And I felt that awful guilt and condemnation of not being right with God. And you know, I didn't get saved that year, though I went to the altar. I didn't get saved that year. But the next year, when I was 11 years old, the revival was going on. And that conviction that began a year earlier, it was still upon me. I knew I was lost, and God began to deal with me. Now, this is why the Holy Spirit is indispensable. You see, if He didn't draw you, you'd never come to Jesus. Because we're sinners, and we are positively inclined to sin. You know, Jesus made that clear. He said He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He said, "He that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then He said, you know that, maybe I'll have to go back to the book of John and look at this. But that's all right. I don't mind at all. Glad I got a Bible, aren't you? Amen. My memory fails me sometimes. But so far, it hadn't failed me in as much as I can still remember where it's at. Amen. And if I can't quote it, I can turn it to it and read it. And I'm so glad and thankful for that. But this is what it said. He said, "And this is the condemnation that that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Oh, listen, friend, if you'll be honest with yourself, you'll have to acknowledge, "I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner." You know, none of us are so good but what we haven't sinned. That rich young ruler, Brother Johnson, that maybe referred to that either tonight or last night. That rich young ruler who came to Jesus said, "What good thing may I do?" And Jesus said, "Thou knowest the commandments." And he said, "Which ones?" And he said, "Well, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother." And that young man looked at Jesus and he said, "Well, I've kept all of them from my youth up." And Jesus said, "Well, lackest thou one thing? Go sell what you have and give to the poor. You know, and take up your cross and follow me." Well, you know, he didn't love the Lord more than he loved his riches.
That's right.
See?
That's right.
The first and the greatest commandment, Jesus said, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, how thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But he did not love Jesus more than he loved his possessions. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. He came to church. He came to Jesus, a lost person, knowing that he needed something. He needed eternal life. That's what he needed. He knew it. He came to Jesus and he left without it. He went back the same way he came. It reminds me of a passage of scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes. The wise man said, "I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were soon forgotten in the land where they had so loved." Then he went on to talk about the righteous. And then he said that it would be well with the righteous, but it would not be well with the wicked. You know, people come to church sometimes and they hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart and says, you know, you need this. You know, you need to be saved. And yet they may turn it away, you know. And they leave the house of the Lord just like they came, still lost and separated from God. But, you know, I'm talking about the work of the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, the precious truth of God's Word, and He uses that Word to bring conviction. The knowledge that you're not right with God. And you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The drawing of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit has a very important work to do in the hearts of people before they will be saved. We talk about the influence of the Word of God. You know, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 5, it's the Word of God is spoken of as a fire that burns. You know. In the 23rd chapter, it's talks about the Word of God as a hammer that crushes the stone. You know, the Bible even refers to the heart of a sinner as being a heart of stone. And every time you hear the gospel and you turn it away and you say, no, that's not for me. Maybe sometime I'll come to the Lord, but not now. I'm not going to that altar to pray. Or I'm not going to go forward and pray in front of people. I'm just not going to do it. You know, and people can say that. God allows that. He really does. He don't force anybody into being saved. But He does manifest His love and His concern by reproving and drawing, you know. And He draws men to Jesus because Jesus is the one that can save them. And so it talks about the Word of God as being a hammer. I have seen people set under the gospel for years and they would harden their hearts, you know. But finally, they gave in. And that's, you know, the Word's like a hammer. You take a big old rock and you take a hammer and you hit it. It may not break the first time you hit it. You hit it again. It may not break the next time you hit it. But you just keep hitting it in the same place. And it'll break. And that's the way the preaching of the gospel is. Yeah. People, many of them don't respond the first time they hear it. But if you can keep people exposed to the gospel, I believe this with all my heart. If you can keep people exposed to the gospel, it'll get them. I believe it will. And so the influence of the Word of God under the workings of the Holy Spirit is so important to the salvation of lost souls. We read in the Bible, in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and I'm going to close very quickly. But Ezekiel, he was taken out into a valley and sat down, and in this valley, it was full of dead bones, you know, dead men's bones. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And he said, Lord, thou knowest. And the Lord said, I want you to prophesy unto them bones. And you might think, you know, that's pretty silly, you know. And a lot of the world thinks what I'm doing tonight is pretty silly. But I'm telling you, it's not silly. Amen. We have never been involved in anything that was more sacred than what we're doing tonight. Amen. It's not silly. I tell you, God made man. He gave him a soul. A soul that'll live forever. Yeah. It'll never die. Yeah. If it is saved and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, when a man dies, he goes to be with Jesus. Yes. And if it's not been cleansed, and see when a man dies, that soul will drop into the pits of hell. The Bible says the wicked go down quick into the pit. The word quick has two meanings. Number one, it means rapidly. And the other means alive. You pull your fingernail off in the quick, that means you pulled it out deep enough. It was deep enough into that part which was alive down in there. You know, pull it off in the quick, in the living part. The soul of man is eternal. It'll never die. And so anyway, he says, I want you to prophesy to them dead bones there. And so he began to prophesy. And those bones began to come together. And he said, Son of man, prophesy to the wind. And said, blow on these dead bones. And so he prophesied to the wind, and the wind blew, and those bones came to life and stood up. Now, I don't know how you interpret that, but I believe that's a picture of a soul that's dead in trespasses and in sins. Not dead physically. No, we're all very much alive physically. But if you're not right with God, your soul is dead. And I mean by that, it's separated from God. And so he prophesied and the bones lived. And that's what preaching of the gospel, when accompanied by the Holy Spirit, that's what it can do for a lost soul. It can make him alive in Christ Jesus. And alive to never die. I read in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul said, and my preaching was not with... No, that's not the one. That's another one. I think I read that last night. But listen to what it says. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. There was something that accompanied that word. And he said, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, and ye, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So the gospel, when it's accompanied by the Holy Ghost, the power of God. The word furnishes the information. The Holy Ghost furnishes the power. Amen. And I'm telling you, without the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. I said there are three things, and I'm trying to close. There are three things. There's conviction, which is the knowledge that I'm lost. Then there is contrition. You know, when a person comes to see themselves as God sees them, it'll bring sorrow to your heart. You won't like being lost. You won't like being separated from God. You won't like the prospects of dying in your sins and going to hell. You won't like that. And it'll bring sorrow to your heart. And that's contrition. Contrition. Knowledge, sorrow, and what follows that? Conversion. I'm telling you, the Lord makes a change in people. Yeah. Jesus said, or Paul said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. I know tonight I probably have been scattered, and maybe I have, as one fellow said, preached from generations to revolutions. But, you know, I've tried to follow the leadership of the Spirit. And I know, I'm not guessing about this. I know because of what the Bible says, and also because of what I've experienced, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that the Holy Spirit uses that gospel to bring men to Christ. And tonight, if you're not saved, I pray that you'll come to Jesus. I'm not asking you to come to me. I couldn't help you. I couldn't even help myself. Couldn't help myself. I called on the Lord. Let me tell you a little bit of my experience, if you don't mind. We've been going to church every day. We'd go for morning service at 11 o'clock. And then we'd go back that night at 7:30. We were farmers. Everybody was farmers around us back in those days. And we'd go back at 7:30. Well, every day when we'd get home from the morning service, my mother would fix lunch, and we would eat, and then they would pray with me and encourage me. They'd say, "You just keep trying to get saved. You keep calling on the Lord. You pray. You get away to yourself and pray and seek the Lord." Well, the day I got saved, we ate lunch. They did not say a word to me. Daddy got up and went to the field to work, and my mother got up and went and laid down across the bed to rest. And it seemed like there was a voice inside of me that said, "They give up. You're not going to get saved." And that conviction that I had been experiencing, that burden because of sin, that condemnation, it got heavier. It just got heavier and heavier. And so I got up. I'd heard preachers preach from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. And they said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly." So I thought, well, I'll go in there. We live in a great big old two-story farmhouse. And there was a set of stairs that went upstairs, and there's a closet under the stairs. And so I went in there and got in the closet and shut the door. And I prayed and I prayed, and I didn't get any relief. That burden just got heavier. So I left the house and I went down to the spring down below our house in the holler. There was a big spring, and there was a big beech tree that had been uprooted by a storm and left a big hole in the ground. And so I went down in that hole in the ground, and I thought, if I can get down here low enough, you know, the Lord will hear. And I tried to pray, and I just got worse. And I got up and went back to the house. My mother was still laying across the bed. And I sat down in the rocking chair. And that burden was so heavy. And I wanted to be saved. I don't think I was saying words. I had been praying words, but at the moment when I was saved, I don't think I was saying words. But my heart was reaching out to God. And you know, some way, somehow, and I can't tell you how, but all of a sudden, that burden of sin was gone. I was not condemned any longer. I had peace with God, and my soul was happy. I woke my mother up. I said, "Mother, the Lord has saved me." And I ran to the field where my daddy was. "Daddy, the Lord saved me." And I couldn't hardly wait to get to church that night to tell all them people that had been praying for me and praying with me that the Lord had saved me. And you know, I wouldn't trade that experience for nothing in the world. Nothing in the world. I know God is real. I know God's real. I know Jesus saves. And I know, my friend, that God loves you and He wants to be your Savior. He wants you to be saved and have the knowledge of salvation in your heart. So while we stand and sing tonight, if you've never had an experience similar to that, now none of us perhaps have exactly the same experience in detail, but I promise you, the same thing happened to every one of us. We got under conviction. We sorrowed our way to repentance. believed in the Lord Jesus, He took the burden of sin away, and He gave us peace. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you feel the Lord dealing with your heart, I'm telling you, it's a feeling way. It is a feeling way. The Holy Spirit deals with our hearts, lets us know we need the Lord. If that be the case with anyone here tonight, would you come to pray? Just submit to the will of the Lord. You know, that's the way you come to God. You give in. You know, He's wanting to save you, wanting to be your Savior. And if you just give in and give up and let the Lord have His way, He'll save you. While we stand and sing.
Page 45.